Have you ever taken a pledge?
We'll be talking about a very unique pledge on today's program.
Join us. Good Friday morning.
Good morning, friends. Welcome to Wake Up With Hope. We're so happy to be here with you.
And you know what, honey?
What?
It's your fault.
What?
Yep.
My fault?
Yep, your fault.
Okay. Oh, I think I see what you're doing. Today is National Blame Someone Else Day. Have you ever heard of that?
All right. You figured me out. She's right. Today is National Blame Someone Else Day. And you know, what's interesting is that blaming someone else goes all the way back to the beginning of Earth's history.
Unfortunately, that's right. When Adam and Eve were confronted by God about their sin, they both blamed someone else. In Genesis chapter 3, Adam blamed Eve for his sin, then Eve blamed the serpent, but really, who was responsible?
Well, they were. They both were. You know, it was their own choice that they made, and sometimes it's hard to admit we've made poor choices. But today, we encourage you not to blame someone else for your actions. Instead, acknowledge your mistakes before God and anyone else you may have wronged. So let's keep those things in mind as we get started with this day. And we're going to start today's program by taking a look back at what happened on this day in history.
On January 13, 1999, the National Basketball Association superstar Michael Jordan of the Chicago Bulls announced his retirement from professional basketball for the second time in front of a crowd at Chicago's United Center. Michael Jordan actually went on to get back in the game again, and in total he retired three times until he finally left the game once and for all.
You know, friends, have you ever had a passion for something? Something you enjoy so much you can't seem to imagine life without it? Well, many of us have a passion that becomes intertwined with our very identity. We simply cannot imagine us without it. Well, friends, Jesus is calling us out today. He wants to be the passion that we can't live without. He wants our entire lives to revolve around Him and His principles. At work, at school, at home, our very own lifestyle. You see, to be a Christian means to be His entirely. Today, bring Jesus into everything you do, that your very identity would be intertwined with who He is.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Few places on earth haven't been exploited or corrupted by the greed of mankind, and Palau is one of those places. With strict environmental and conservation laws, it is a sanctuary where marine life flourishes, a place for locals and visitors to see God's creation in its close to original perfection. But every visitor that reaches its shores can only enter by making a special promise and pledge sealed in every passport.
Over the years, we've had the awesome privilege of traveling and exploring so many amazing places in our world. From the dry plains of the African desert to the jungles of Asia. From the tiny islands of Polynesia to the big cities of America. Deep down under in Australia to the otherworldly scenes of Iceland. From the Middle East of Lebanon to the Far East of Japan to the Wild Wild West of Waianae. From the ancient cities of Europe and to the modern tech cities of California's Silicon Valley. And in each place, we've met incredible people and seen amazing things. But of all the places the Lord has taken us, none is quite like the Micronesian island of Palau. Located in the western Pacific Ocean, Palau has over 300 islands scattered across over 170 square miles. And there are no adjectives to adequately describe the breathtaking beauty and captivating charm of this island chain. With perfect weather, peaceful waters, and hospitable people, Palau is truly one of a kind. It is one of the most magical and magnificent places on the earth, a place that has caused us to feel very close to heaven. As a sanctuary of refuge for marine wildlife, Palau is one of the few remaining places on earth that hasn't been exploited and corrupted by the greed of mankind. Its strict environmental and conservation laws has enabled the marine life to flourish. In fact, it's the first shark sanctuary in the whole world. And taking the role as the white blood cells of the sea, healthy sharks equal a healthy ocean. This is definitely a place for visitors to come to see God's creation in its close to original perfection. Seeing the natural balance of the ecosystem and the intricate aesthetic design of every living thing, it's hard to imagine how all of this could happen by random chance. For intelligent design necessitates an intelligent designer. And the deeper you go and the closer you look, the more clearly you see the unmistakable evidence of intelligent design. Design that is calculated to draw you to the divine designer that made all things for us to enjoy and preserve. Palau is actually the first nation on earth to change its immigration laws for the cause of environmental protection. It is the only country that requires its visitors to sign a passport pledge, committing to preserve the beauty of this island paradise. The pledge reads, "Children of Palau, I take this pledge as your guests to preserve and protect your beautiful and unique island home. I vow to tread lightly, act kindly, and explore mindfully. I shall not take what is not given, and I shall not harm what does not harm me. The footprints that I leave are only those that will wash away." Reflecting upon these reasonable words, I'm convicted that the Palau Pledge ought to be the vow of all humanity for the whole world. For the Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And in the beginning, God has given this world to mankind to dress it and to keep it. We are called to be good stewards over what God has entrusted to us. In fact, God is so serious about this injunction that the Bible says that God will destroy those who destroy the earth. And tragically, that's exactly what humanity has done. Through materialism and greed, pollution, and an apparent disregard of the earth's limited resources and beauty, we have damaged God's green earth. And God will hold us accountable for what we have done to this world, both individually and corporately. So today I call upon you to take the Palau Pledge. Go ahead and make the Christ-like commitment to tread lightly, act kindly, and explore mindfully. Do not take what is not yours. Do not harm that which does not harm you. Live to give of yourself, your time and your talents and your treasures to protect and preserve life. Not only wildlife, but human life. Take only pictures and leave only footprints. And as you do, you will not only be honoring your marvelous maker, but you and future generations will be able to see more clearly the power, wisdom, and beauty of the divine designer through the things that he has made. Now, you may never have the opportunity to come to the earthly paradise of Palau in this life. That may be beyond your reach and beyond your budget. But what is within your budget and within your reach is the free gift of God's grace. Grace that's freely offered to each and every one of us. And today, if you will reach out the hand of faith and receive it, you can have the assurance that you will make it one day to the heavenly paradise above.
If you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more. And search for us on YouTube and check out our channel and keep up with us there.
After the break, we're going to have a talk with Ronnie Mills. Stay with us. Welcome back, friends. You know, it's a bright and wintry Friday morning on Wake Up With Hope. We're enjoying spending this time with you.
Ronnie Mills is back with us today. I can't wait to see what he has to share. Ronnie?
Good morning, Saints, and happy Friday. We are living in unique times. Every day, we're seeing reminders that the soon return of Christ is getting closer day by day. At Hope Channel, we are working hard to help fulfill Christ's great commission because we don't want anyone left behind. Therefore, I'm thrilled to have as our guest today, Mr. Joe Sloan, Director of International Development for Hope Channel. Welcome, Joe, to Wake Up with Hope.
Thank you, Ronnie. Glad to be here.
Please tell our audience regarding the exciting initiative that Hope Channel is involved in to tell the world regarding Christ's imminent return.
Thank you, Ronnie. The initiative is called 3 AM for Three Angels Messages, and it relates to Revelation 14, the last gospel cry of the New Testament, in which a special message goes out in the end times. The initiative is to get as many channels as possible and as many languages as possible to create videos that can be used to extend this message to those that have never heard it, particularly the youth.
And how many channels will be involved in this new initiative?
Well, the plan is to do at least 70 languages. We've already done 30, and those 30 involve about 25 channels. To do 70 is probably about 45 to 50 channels.
What is some of the initial feedback that you have received regarding the project?
Well, Ronnie, we've received a lot of feedback. There's been tens of thousands of people who have watched these videos. But some of it that we can relate here on the air from Bernardo, this has been the best explanation in short form that I have ever heard. From Robin, we've received, awesome. Thank you for such a well done video. Jamar tells us, very informative and powerful. And Maud wrote in saying, amen. The Three Angels message is a blessed gift to the church. We praise God for the inspiration.
Wow, Joe, thank you for sharing that feedback, and thank you for tuning in today. Your support will enable more people to respond, and here's some of the great feedback that we heard today who will be excited about this project. This can only happen due to your support. Call in today at 1-888-446-7388. That's 1-888-446-7388. Or donate online at hopetv.org/donate. That's hopetv.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
Thank you, Ronnie. That was great. Well, we have to take a short break now, but stay with us.
After the break, we will have today's devotional thought by Pastor Mark Finley. In the meantime, send us a message on Facebook and let us know where you're watching from today. We'll be right back. Stay right there. It is time for our devotional thought now, and this morning it will be brought to us by Mark Finley.
The book of Proverbs is so practical. It talks about the inner person, the joyful heart, and the hopeful soul. You know, somebody has said that you can live days without food, hours without water, minutes without air, but no time at all without hope. Hope renews our spirits. It encourages our hearts and cheers our thoughts. That's why this series of programs sponsored by the Hope Channel is called Wake Up with Hope. We want you every single morning to start your day with a hopeful heart and a joyful spirit. In today's proverb, Solomon states an eternal truth. He states that when you lose hope, it really crushes your spirit and destroys the joy of your life. Our proverb that we're going to study today is found in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 12. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Solomon here is stating an eternal truth. When you lose hope, your energy is sapped. Your ambition is gone. Your reason for living evaporates, and life no longer has purpose. The Bible mentions the word hope over 150 times. One of the classic passages in Scripture on hope is found in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. In fact, when we were thinking about a name for this channel, many years ago when Hope Channel started, this was one of the texts that guided us in the formation of Hope Channel. And it's found in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope, don't you love that? He is the God of hope. He's not the God of discouragement, not the God of depression, not the God of sorrow. He's the God of what? What is he? The God of hope. Verse 13, "Now the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." So he is the God of hope. And when we come to this passage and understand what Paul is saying to us, he's saying that he's testifying that the positive results of having a mind filled with hope, just like Solomon states, the tragic results of losing hope. But when we're filled with hope, we have a reason to live. And our hearts are filled with two things. What are they filled with? Joy, and they're filled with peace. Notice again, "Now the God of hope fill you," fill us with what? With joy. Fill us with what else? Peace in believing, so that we can what? Abound in hope. When Solomon spoke, Solomon said, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick." So if you have no hope, it leads you to depression, discouragement. Some time ago, a man was traveling through Kansas. The snow was coming down, and his car got stuck. And he put a big sign on the window, "Please help me." But yet people kept passing him by, and he lost hope. And because he lost hope, he sat there in his car, discouraged, despondent, ultimately frozen to death, because he didn't even want to get out of the car to flag somebody down. He didn't even want to. People just kept passing him by, and he said, "I just lost hope." On the other hand, one of the most amazing stories I've read on hope was the story illustration of a boy who was burned in a fire. And he was really badly burned, scars on his hands, scars on his face, and he had to spend many, many weeks in the hospital. And the school district that he was in employed a teacher to assist children who were in the hospital, or to assist children who were sick for any long-term period of time, with their studies so that the children wouldn't get behind. After the first visit that the teacher had with this boy, she really was discouraged. When she went into his room and saw that the bandages on his hands and face, and she didn't know, what am I supposed to teach him, math, reading? He can't comprehend anything. And she was really discouraged. But yet the nurses were quite amazed after her visit. And the nurses came to his room, and he seemed to be different. And so when the teacher came the next week to teach him, the nurses said, "Well, what did you do to that boy?" Now, the teacher was a little bit shocked by their statement, because she thought, this boy must have gotten worse. He's not improving. And the nurses said, "No, that's not the point at all, but his attitudes are completely changed. He wants to live. What did you do?" And the teacher said, "I didn't do anything. I just came to teach him his subjects," and she continued to come. A few weeks later, as the boy continued to improve, his health got dramatically better, then one of the nurses said to him, "You know, since that teacher's been coming, you have just done so much better." "Why?" And he said, "You know, I began to think about it. And I thought of it this way. They would not send a teacher to teach a dying boy. I have hope. I'm going to live." That's what hope does. Hope buoys up our spirits. Hope encourages our hearts. Hope has life-giving power. So today, face your world filled with hope. But you say, "Pastor Mark, if you knew my world, you wouldn't be filled with hope, because the lump under my arm has been diagnosed as malignant, and it's metastasized, and I may have 6 months to live. How can I have hope? Pastor Mark, my husband left me for another woman, and I have 3 kids to raise. How can I have hope? Pastor Mark, I've just been laid off from my job. How can I have hope?" Let me give you a couple promises in the Bible of hope. The Apostle Paul was in prison. He was in prison in Rome. He was in a dark, damp, dingy dungeon. But yet he wrote words of joy. In the book of Philippians, it's called the Epistle of Joy. Over 25 times it mentions joy or rejoicing. Paul was in prison, but he had hope. And here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Here is something to be thankful about. Here is something to have thanksgiving all year long about. Philippians chapter 4, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Whatever circumstance you are in, you can have hope because you're not in it alone. Whatever circumstance you face, you can have hope because there's one that walks by your side. Whatever challenge you face, however high the mountain is, however deep the valley is, however dark the night is, you have hope. You can do all things through Christ because He is going to be there to strengthen you. He's going to be there to encourage you. And notice verse 19, Philippians chapter 4. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What needs do you have today? Go out, face your world with hope, because Jesus, the living Christ, is going to supply all your need with the riches of glory. Jesus is your hope. Why can I have hope? Because I have Jesus, and Jesus is my hope. Discouragement breaks us down. Hope lifts us up. So go in the strength of Christ. Go in the love of Christ. Go in the grace of Christ. And let your heart be filled with hope.
Thank you, Pastor Mark.
And thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope. If you'd like to learn more about our program, rewatch a segment during the weekend, or share with a friend who's never seen Wake Up with Hope, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And we look forward to starting the week with you, so don't forget to join us right here on Monday at 7 a.m. We will have a powerful message from our friends at Voice of Prophecy, an inspiring talk on sea glass, and the Health Connection will be back with Dr. Zeno Charles Marcel. Make sure to join us.
Also, if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more about the Bible, visit us at hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, friends, that's hope.study. You won't regret it.
No, and we don't want to leave without sharing with you our daily Bible promise, especially this one for the weekend. It's found in Romans chapter 8, verses 33 and 34.
It says, who dares accuse us, whom God has chosen for His own? No one. For God Himself has given us right standing with Himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And He is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us.
Amen.
I love that verse.
Oh, yes.
Let's claim it today, this most wonderful promise, as we enter into our day.
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, today, Lord, we have that assurance that we do not stand alone. As we go off to work or to school, or if we stay at home, wherever we may be, wherever we may go, Lord, we want to take You with us. We want You to remain in our hearts. Because in You, Lord, with You, we find all the strength and comfort we need. We find all the hope that we need to be able to face each day with confidence. Thank You, Lord, for answering our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.